Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
We started this series last week that kind of feels like a messed up infomercial, and it's not. We're talking about five easy ways to wreck your life. But in honor of the idea of infomercials, we have some amazing products over here that we are not selling. We're actually going to give them all away to one lucky winner. How could you be that lucky person? Well, if you fill out a connection card during any of the first 4 weeks of this series, every connection card you give us or on your seats is going to be entered into a drawing. So the more weeks you do a connection card, the more chance you have to win. It doesn't matter if it's your first time ever doing that or you've been here for years. And we're going to draw one winner who will receive all this stuff the fifth week of the series. What is it that you could win? Well, we have, as seen only on TV, Invincible, which is a stain fighter. Why do I like it? Invincible. My name is Vince. Yeah, right there. And some people have said, why is there a life jacket? This is not a life jacket. What this is, these are sauna pants. So why would you want sauna pants? I don't know. But you put these on, and they strap through your legs, and you plug them in. There's nothing dangerous about this. And they heat up, and they're sauna pants. You could win sauna pants. These could be yours. And if we're going to have you fill out some sort of thing that we're not responsible for what happens with those. So last week we started this series called Five Easy Ways to Wreck Your Life. And we're looking at the life of a guy named King Solomon. King Solomon's story is found in the Bible. He lived about 1000 BC, and he was a king who became one of the most powerful people in the entire world. He believed in and followed God. He asked God for wisdom. God gave it to him, and he lived with wisdom. But somewhere in between that point of his life and the end, the wheels came off. He made a series of bad decisions that wrecked his life. And he wrote a personal journal of his mistakes that we have in the Bible as a book called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. And it's like every line of Ecclesiastes, he's basically saying, don't do what I did. Don't wreck your life. Last week, if you want to open Ecclesiastes, if you have a Bible, you can. If you don't have a Bible with you, that is no problem. We'll put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place, and on the Verve app. You can get a Bible there, too. Last week, we looked at the first way he wrecked his life and what he informs us not to do, which is let pleasure guide you. Let pleasure guide you. If you missed it, you could listen to it on the Verve website or on the Verve app. And we talked about how, you know, we all think that there's something that we're missing, and if we could just get it, it will make us happy. But we learned, not just from Solomon, but from like sociological research that proves it, that getting that thing isn't going to make you happy. Changing your circumstances doesn't make you a happy person. We learned last week that happy people don't chase happiness. They chase God, and happiness catches them. Today, we're going to see a second way to wreck your life, and it's this. Be consumed with success. Be consumed with success. Now, let me ask you, do you think that succeeding at something could wreck your life? Do you think that doing well at your job, winning awards, getting promoted, gaining recognition, getting a big end-of-the-year bonus can actually wreck your life? I'm guessing some of you are pushing back and thinking, wait, you want me to believe that succeeding, being great at something, winning, could wreck my life? I don't think I buy that. And I'll be honest with you, I tend to agree. Like, I think the same way. In fact, I'm pretty sure we all do, because, like, it's been ingrained in us. Ever since we were kids, we were taught and we wanted to grow up and be successful, right? Maybe you wanted to make a lot of money or to win awards or to be a professional athlete. Like, growing up, I wanted to play third base for the Dodgers. And I wanted to be the point guard for the New York Knicks, which is actually kind of attainable right now. They're pretty bad. I still have a shot there. But it turns out I did not have the athletic ability or the physique to become a professional athlete. I remember when I was in high school, I took this weight training class, and I thought, like, this is awesome. I'm going to get ripped. It's going to help me get closer to my goal of being a professional athlete. On the first day of the class, they had everyone lift as much weight as you could, and then they would pair you up with someone who was going to be your partner, and it was someone who lifted the same amount of weight as you. And on that first day, I learned that there was just one person who lifted the same amount of weight as I did. Her name was Heidi. And I realized, man, I don't think I'm ever going to have what it takes to become a professional athlete. But I still wanted to be successful. Right? We all do. We want to grow up and be successful. And then when we grow up, if we don't attain our goals, what we do is we push them on our kids. Right? As Ricky Bobby learned from his dad at Career Day, if you ain't first, you're last. Right? And so I have two kids who have participated in, you name it, baseball, football, basketball, gymnastics, all of it. And I wanted them to do well and try hard and succeed, but I also didn't want to be that dad, right? You know what I mean? And so, like, I try not to push them, and they never cared if they won. Well, like, they were just happy to play, and at the end of the season, they would always get an award or a ribbon. You want to hear some of the awards and ribbons they got? Eighth place, honorable mention, participant. Like, how bad do you have to do to get an award that says, you showed up? It's pretty bad. Listen, I'm not saying that wanting to succeed is wrong, okay? It's not wrong. That desire to do great things, and it, not only is it not wrong, I would actually say it's from God. Like, God put that inside of us. It's not wrong to work hard at school or to make the team or to do well at work. None of that is life-wrecking. It's not wrong, but it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. See, sometimes being good at a thing can lead you to drift away from the best thing. And the whole time you're drifting, you never realize that you're drifting. You know what I mean? Right? Like maybe you've gone to the beach and you put your stuff in the sand on the beach and you jumped into the ocean and you're swimming, you're playing, you're doing all kinds of fun stuff. And then after a while, you look in and your stuff is gone, right? Like, you knew you put it right there and it's not there anymore. And you're like, my stuff is gone. And then you realize it's over there. Right? But your stuff didn't move. You did, right? You got in and the current started taking you and you're way down the beach and you never realized the whole time that you were drifting. And the same thing happens to us in life, like when we go after success. So you set this goal, right? And you start working towards it. It's like, I'm going to get that goal. And you're working for it and you're going after it. And one day you realize that what happened without you ever knowing it is that you drifted. Like, you were going after, pursuing, and succeeding at something that matters. It matters. But you drifted away from something that matters more. It can happen with your kids, right? You get into your career, and you're working hard. You want to succeed. Why? Because you love your kids. Like, you want to provide for them, and you want to give them all the best stuff. And you know that you're spending a lot of time at work, and you're missing some time with your kids, but, like, you're going to make it up to them. Like, there's going to be a vacation coming out of this. And then one day you wake up, and you realize, man, I drifted away from my kids. I've drifted and drifted. Maybe I've drifted too far. It can happen in marriage, right? You get married, and it's great, it's awesome, and you've got this career that you start, and you start going after success, and you're pursuing it. What you don't realize is you're drifting, and you're drifting because there's, like, nights where you have to work because, I mean, you want to succeed, and there's travel with your job. You got to travel, and so you miss some nights where you don't even get to talk to your spouse, and you miss a lot of dinners together, and there's dates that you were supposed to go on but didn't actually go on. And one day you wake up and you realize, I drifted. Maybe I've drifted too far from my spouse. It can happen with your soul. right? Like maybe you had a time in your life where you felt really connected to God. You can remember it, and it felt really good. And then you got into this career, and whatever it is that you're shooting after, and you're going after success, and because you're going after success, you need to get to work early. You can't be there when everybody else gets there, and so maybe you don't have time anymore to read the Bible in the morning or to pray in the morning, so you don't really connect with God on a daily basis, and you used to be at church every week, but over time, you start missing some because work creeps into the weekends, and at some point, you realize, man, I'm actually not there more than I am there, and one day, you wake up, and you realize, I don't even know how much I believe in God anymore. I certainly don't feel connected to him. What happened is you drifted. Right? In this series, we're open up the journal or the diary of this guy, King Solomon. And last week, we saw how his pursuit of pleasure wrecked his life and left him empty. And this week, as we continue in his journal entries of his meaningless pursuits, we're going to see him say, learn from me, success took me exactly where I wanted to go. And it turned out when I got there that it was not where I wanted to be. So if you have a Bible, open to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And if you don't, again, we'll put on the verses on the screen. We're going to start in verse 17. Solomon writes, so I hated life. He's talking about after pursuing pleasure, and that didn't do it for him. So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. And so he says, I tried to get pleasure out of my success. I tried to have my success fill me up, but it was a chasing after the wind. Like you can chase the wind, but you ain't gonna catch it, right? And he says, and I realize all this stuff I got for myself, I'm just going to die and hand it to someone else who may or may not appreciate it, may or may not appreciate me, may or may not take care of my stuff. Like, yay! Really, that's it? He continues verse 20. He says, so my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. And so he's saying, listen, you can pour all your best energy into your work, and that's fine. But if you're looking for your accomplishments to be your primary source of happiness, think again. Because what you're going to realize if you accomplish all your goals like I did is that it's empty. He continues verse 22. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. Solomon says, listen, I tried pursuing success and it worked. Like I did it, I got it. But it wasn't fulfilling and it didn't last. Now, I wonder if maybe you're thinking, Come on. Like, if you're truly successful, like you set goals and you achieve all of them, it's got to be fulfilling, right? If I was truly successful, I would feel full. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. And we see this all the time with really successful people. For example, Tom Brady. Perhaps the most successful current athlete in America. He's a quarterback who has won the Super Bowl 4 times. He lives in a $20 million mansion in California. His wife is a Victoria's Secret model, supermodel. Like he's got all the things that people would say, like, yeah, if I had those things. So is he fulfilled? Is he just loving life? Well, he was interviewed on 60 Minutes a couple years ago before he won his 4th Super Bowl, and here's what he says. He said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me. I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. I think, God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I love playing football, and I think there are a lot of other parts, and I love being quarterback for this team, but at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find. And so the interviewer asked, what's the answer? Brady said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Tom Brady seems to have it all, but he feels like he has nothing. Apparently, his sense of fulfillment is deflated. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Really? Man, I got that line got way bigger reaction than the first service. I'm not too into you guys anymore. That was pretty funny. It's kind of obvious, but pretty funny. Let's look back at Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4. Here's kind of his conclusion on this matter. He says, and I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And so he's saying, it's so easy for us to start playing the comparison game, right? Like your neighbor gets the 60-inch flat screen TV, so you get the 60-inch 3D flat screen TV. Your neighbor gets a Lexus, you get a BMW. Do you know what that does? It turns us into anxious, insecure people who are always looking over our shoulder, over the neighbor's fence, or over the next cubicle to try and figure out what we need to do to keep up, to win. And that unhealthy desire, that anxious striving, is a dead end road. It's chasing after the wind. It just leads to emptiness. And it's a lonely journey because contrary to what you might think, people don't want to be around someone who's trying to win at all cost. It's really not the guy you want to be buddies with. And Solomon is warning us, don't go there. It's a dead end. It's chasing after the wind. It is meaningless. You know, we just want to be successful. But then if we get it, it turns out to not be what we really want. And we realize it caused us to drift away from more important things. And in the end, it's empty. Part of the problem, and it's a big part of what makes the pursuit of success go from being okay to being something that can wreck our lives is because too often we believe a lie. In fact, not only do we believe a lie, a lot of us have built our lives on this lie. Here's the lie. My success determines my identity. That's the lie. My success determines my identity. And we see this with Solomon. At one point, Solomon obviously wrapped up his success with his identity. He talks about my toil and my labor and my effort and my skill and what I accomplished. It was all about what he had done and achieved in life. And his accomplishments, his success had become his identity. And the thought of leaving that all behind and handing it off to someone else who didn't even earn it, it was painful to him and it was frustrating to him because he had allowed his success to define him. It had become his identity. And I think we have a tendency to do exactly the same thing. So if you were here last week, we talked about this fill-in-the-blank thing that pretty much all of us do, where we say, when blank happens, then I'll be happy, right? And what we learned last week is, no, you won't. If blank happens for you, whatever you think it is that's going to make you happy, not just Solomon, like research says, you won't be happy. Changing your circumstances does not change your happiness. Here's this week's fill in the blank. You ready? If I could just be successful at blank, then I would be viewed as blank. Right? So if I could just be successful at work, then I'd be seen as important. If I could just be successful at school, then I'd be seen as smart. If I could just be successful at making money, then I could feel secure. When we live like that, and our identity gets all wrapped up in what we do, man, that is one of the easiest ways to wreck your life. And what keeps pushing us forward is this kind of subconscious thought of, I feel like a nobody, and I want to be somebody. In fact, I'm going to prove to everybody that I am somebody. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. If it takes long hours, if it takes 7 days a week, if it costs me my health, if it costs me time away from my wife and kids, if it costs me not being able to go to church anymore, if it costs me my relationship with God, I don't want to pay those prices, but I will, because I can't stand feeling like a nobody. So I will perform, and I will produce, and I will earn, and I will accumulate. I will win until finally I am admired and I am appreciated. Listen, when you believe that what you do determines your identity, what happens is your success steals your true identity. Okay? Your true identity, whether you know this or not, is that you are God's child. You are loved by God. And what's really cool is you can't earn that, and you can't lose that. That's awesome, right? Like there's security in that, knowing I don't have to strive to achieve that. And even if I blow it, I can't lose that. My true identity is that I am God's child and I am loved by Him. There's incredible security in that. But here's the problem. If you think that your success determines your identity, you do have to earn that, and you can lose that. And what happens is you don't really know who you are anymore, because your identity is all wrapped up in your title at work on your business card, or what you have, or what kind of car you drive in, or how big your house is, or what clothes you wear, or who your friends are. And what will become of you is that you'll become an envious, competitive, self-absorbed, stressed out, insecure, approval-seeking person. And one day, it will all come crashing down. Or at best, and it's not a good thing, you'll retire. And what will happen is you won't know who you are anymore, because you lost the business card and your identity was all wrapped up in your success. And it is the easiest way to wreck your life. Really, what's happened, you're going to push back when you hear this thought, but what's happened is your success became your God. Your success became your God. There's a word in the Bible that describes something that takes the place of God in our lives. The word is idol, I-D-O-L. Now, when you think of idol, you might think of singers on a Fox reality show. Or if you know a little bit about like Bible times, or even today, like if you go to India or China, Vietnam, a bunch of places like that, an idol, you're like, no, an idol is like a little statue or a little thing people have in their homes, and they pray to it and they'll worship this little statue. That's an idol too. But the Bible would say, no, anything that takes your worship, anything that you put your ultimate focus on and put your ultimate trust in, anything that you find your identity in, that is an idol. And if we sat down, probably just for a couple minutes, and we're totally honest, I bet for every single one of us, we could hone in on something that gets more of your focus and attention than God does. Something that you hope in and that you look to more than you do God. And that is your idol, because really that's the thing you worship. And listen, success, making money, climbing the corporate ladder are not bad goals. but they make really bad gods. And that's what happened to Solomon. Right? And that's what has happened to so many of us. We get consumed by success because we think it determines our identity. And so what happens in life is we miss out on fulfillment because it's never going to fill us. We miss out on peace, having peace in our life and having security, because peace and security comes from knowing your true identity. I'm God's child. I'm loved by God. I can't earn it, can't lose it. But we never have that peace of security because we've made our success. We believe this lie that my success determines my identity. The Bible tells us the truth, right? The lie is my success determines my identity. Here's the truth. The truth is my identity determines my success. My identity determines my success. And so what we need to do, and I just want you to know, like, I'm really serious about this. Like, I'm hoping that today when we leave, like, all of us are going to go, we're doing it. Yeah. Like, you can do that or not do, like, that part. But, like I'm hoping we will really do this today, okay? Here's what we need to do. We need to focus in life on what we want to become, not on what we want to achieve. We need to focus on who we want to become, not on what we want to achieve. By the way, this is why we fail at New Year's resolutions. Anyone ever fail at a New Year's resolution? Anyone capable of raising your hand, like most of you aren't, and I'm thinking you're liars, or maybe you have two broken arms, I don't know. But I fail, I fail, right? Me too. And do you know why we fail at New Year's resolutions? It's because we believe a lie. We assume that by doing something different, we're going to become someone different. That's not how life works. And so, like, we believe, I assume, by eating better and exercising, I'm going to become a healthy person. I assume that by, like, finally, you know, dusting off that old budget we wrote and never lived by and starting to think that way, I'm going to become a wise financial person. I believe that by going back to school and getting a degree, I'm going to become a smarter person. The reason we set goals like that is because we believe the lie that what we do impacts who we become. And that's backwards. That's not how we work. And what we need to do is we need to start by deciding, who do I want to become? And then out of that, there will be changes. Like, what I do will change. Okay? Who you are precedes what you do. People are all focusing on becoming successful when they need to first focus on becoming the kind of person who can handle success. Does that make sense? Instead of focusing on being successful, I need to focus on being the kind of person who can handle success. By the way, this is why we've all seen people, probably some of us know people like this, and all of us have seen people on TV, like famous celebrity kind of people, who have like all kinds of talent, all kinds of money, all kinds of opportunities, and then they make some really horrible decisions that wreck their lives, right? And we watch that and we think, what are you doing? If I was married to her, I would have stayed faithful. If I had all that money, man, I would be set for life, not bankrupt. Right? If I had all that talent, I would not get hooked on drugs and ruin my career. Why did it happen? It's because their accomplishments went beyond what their character could handle. That's why, right? They were successful, but they had never become the kind of person who can handle success. See, we think that success determines our identity. The truth is our identity, really grasping and living in our identity, that's what determines my success, what level of success I can achieve. And so here's what we need to do. We need to redefine our identity. It's not what I accomplish. It's who I am. It's not the title on my business card. It's who I am. And who I am is I am God's child. I am loved with a perfect love by the one who matters most. We need to redefine our identity, and we also need to redefine success. We need to redefine success. So what if we define success not by what we want to do, but by who we want to become. Okay? What if we define success not by what we want to achieve and do, but instead by who we want to become? So, like, how might we go about that? I would encourage you to think about starting with the end in mind. My favorite philosopher, which if you ever hear anyone say that, it means you're listening to a nerd, okay? But it's not like I collect like philosopher baseball cards just because they don't have philosopher baseball cards. I probably would if they had them. But anyway, my favorite philosopher is named Soren Kierkegaard, and he has this great quote. He said, define life backwards and then live it forwards. Define life backwards and then live it forwards. And so here's how you might do that. What would you like people to say about you at your funeral? When people sum up your life, your existence on this earth, what would you like them to say? What words? I've done a lot of funerals. I honestly don't know how many funerals, 50, 60 funerals. And whenever I do a funeral, I sit down with the people who are closest to the person who died, and I ask them, could you tell me some things about this person so I can talk about them when I speak? Like, what are some of the good things about this person? And I have met with far too many families and friends who had to think long and hard before they could come up with anything. And here's what I have never heard, okay? 50, 60, 70 funerals. I probably met with hundreds of people because usually you're sitting with 8 or 10 people. Hundreds of people. Here's what no one has ever said. He was such a good CEO. Never said, she owned great stuff. Never. No one ever said, do you have any idea how many times he got promoted? No one ever said, man, he reached all of his career goals. No one talks about any of that. Ultimately, no one is going to care whether you were successful or not. They're not going to care what you achieved or how much money you made, what goals you accomplished. All anyone will care about is what kind of person were you. It's all they're going to care about your life. And so isn't it funny that we all live our lives striving after these accomplishments and possessions and achievements, and they don't matter? So what if you define life backwards and lived it forwards? And so here's what we could do. What if, and again, I'm serious. Like, I'm literally hoping that we all walk out of here going, yeah, we're going to do this, yay. Which, let's not do that because we'd sound like Muppets. That kind of has like a, we're not going to be Muppets about it, but we're really going to walk out of here going, we're going to do this, okay? So what if you chose some character words as your new definition of success? And instead of success being how much you make or what level you achieve or whatever, what if you chose some words that define your character, the kind of words that you would hope your family and friends would be able to honestly say about you at your funeral, and you said, that's success for me, okay? What kind of words might they be? Well, you choose, but maybe integrity. Integrity, right? What if you were the kind of person that people at your funeral said integrity and meant it, right? Like integrity meaning like you were always the same person. Didn't matter who was around, who was watching, you were always the same person. I might say that idea, integrity idea, this way. I would say, I want to be the kind of person I want my daughter to date. That's important, right? They say that girls will marry guys who remind them of their dad. Needless to say, my father-in-law looks a lot like George Clooney. Okay, all right. I'm not going to even try. How about if at your funeral people use the word honest? What if you made that a life goal? I want to be an honest person. How about loyal? Loyal. What's success for me? Success for me is that my wife never had to worry for a minute about me keeping my marriage vows. So loyal. And not just in your marriage, with your friends, with God. Think about that. Are you always loyal to God? That's a good one. What if at your funeral they use the word hero? But wait. that you were a hero at home. You were a hero in your home. You made your family a priority. You were your spouse's best friend. You were your kid's biggest fan and advocate. You know why? I'll say this for me, but it applies to you too. Like for me, this church could have a different pastor, right? In fact, someday this church will have a different pastor, but my kids are never going to have a different dad, right? So being a hero at home is a lot more important to me than being a hero with you at my job, right? And it should be the same for you. What if at your funeral they say, you know what? He was a hero in his own home. Maybe you might choose the word joyful. You know, when people talk to you, you're like, oh, regardless of the circumstances, you always trusted God. And so they always found the best in every situation. What if people said about you at your funeral, and one thing I can say for sure is that she was a follower of Jesus. Not that you were obnoxious about it, not like, yeah, everywhere he went, he was always pushing it. I'm not saying that. But listen, everyone follows a certain set of values or principles or ideas or a leader. What if you always followed Jesus? Well, like you made your decisions based on what Jesus would do in your situation, right? Sometimes maybe that meant that you had to love people who you didn't really like. Sometimes maybe it meant that you had to forgive people that you would have rather not forgiven. But you always chose to do what Jesus would have done because you're a follower of Jesus. So you see how you could do this? You start with the end in mind. Ultimately, what does real success look like for me? Not today when I'm driven by feeling insecure about I'm a nobody and what my neighbor's doing, but when I look at the end of my life, what do I want my life to be summed up as? And so you choose some words, realizing no one's going to care about my GPA or my salary at my funeral. They're going to care about what kind of person I am. I start with the end in mind. If you do this, okay, if we do all walk out of here, yeah, we're doing this, yay, we're Muppets. If you do this, a couple things are going to happen in your life. First, these words are going to become guardrails around how you live your life. You know what I mean? Like they'll help you make your decisions. When you have a decision to make, instead of going, what do I do? What do I do? You're going to think, well, what would a loyal person do? And it will help you make your decision. They're going to help you to overcome temptation. There's going to be things that you're like, ooh, yeah. And then you're going to realize, wait, what would a person with integrity do right now? Oh, I can't do that. If I do that, I'm not going to end up being the person who I want to become. And so these words will become guardrails. What they'll also do is they'll become your new definition of success, right? And we have this thing in us. We obsess over achieving and getting something. And so instead of obsessing over your GPA or your salary, things that in the end won't matter, you're going to start obsessing about being an honest person or being a joyful person. That's a lot better thing to be obsessed about because it matters. And, ready? This is like really fun. This is the twist. This is my twist noise. I just made that up right there. It just happened. This is the fun part. If you prioritize character over achieving, you'll probably actually achieve more. If you care less about achieving and you focus on building your character, you'll probably achieve more. It turns out people really like loyal people. People love to hire faithful people, right? It turns out people with integrity tend to get promotions. Turns out you'll become the kind of person who can handle whatever level of success you achieve because you're focusing on your character, and so you'll probably achieve more. Surprise! And last, if you do this, you'll discover, and this is the best part of all by far, that this is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for you. Like, you want to be loyal? Guess what? That has been one of God's goals for your life, your entire life. And when you make that your goal, he's going to come to your aid, right? Like you're going to feel God supporting you as you achieve and go after that goal. And you're going to feel God smiling down on your life as you pursue that goal. You want to have integrity? So does he. You want to, you choose the word discipline? So does he. If you do this, you will be successful at what matters most. And you won't wreck your life. So let's pray for that right now. Let's pray. God, thinking about Solomon's life and how he strove to achieve all these things and reached the end of his life and realized, man, I put decades of my life into pursuing success, and those decades were meaningless, and they just led me to drift away from what mattered most. Thinking about all the people I've talked to as we prepare for funerals and realizing that so many people invested their lives, their best time, their best energy into something that ultimately didn't matter. God, I pray that this morning is a wake-up call for us. And we realize, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to pursue something that in the end I'm going to feel empty for and realize was meaningless. God, would you help us to pursue you and to make our identity that we are your children, loved by you. And what we're going to pursue, what success will be for us, is character. It's who we're going to become, not what we're going to achieve. For a lot of us, that would be a very, very radical shift. And so, God, I pray that you help us to make it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.